Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sober Indian Saturday Night Live. This is Karen, your host. And tonight we have Patrick McCoy back on air. And we're going to have a great conversation. Hi, Patrick. How are you today?
Good. How you doing, Karen?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, we got a 10 o'clock siren. It just went off. I heard that siren ever since I was a little kid. You know what I mean? We used to have to go home. We were playing. I'm in the same neighborhood that I was when I was a kid. And so that siren would go off, and then we'd all have to go home because it was 10 o'clock. It was from the fire station. But anyway, I just heard it go off, and so it's familiar hearing that sound. But, yeah, I had a good day and very productive. I had a lot of stuff I got done, and that's what recovery is about. It's, you know, like taking your actions and being responsible. And I remember sitting on a bar stool thinking about all the things I was going to do, and I didn't do anything but sit there. And so when I got sober, I was able to start doing the stuff that I wanted to do. And that's why I'm grateful, because, you know, I experienced life. But I wanted to talk about tonight, you know, the peacekeepers and sober Indians and how they're always helping by, you know, monitoring the group, making sure that nobody's posting anything condescending to, anything condescending to the other group members. You know, like if someone posts something about they're having a struggle, or, you know, there's nice ways of, responding to people, and you got to be tactful when you encourage people. So we don't allow anybody that's, you know, sarcastic or, you know, or they say something abusive, you know, like, you know, just, you know, it's just it's not a good policy or a good practice when you're trying to lift people up. And so, you know, we talk about that. We have our own group within the group, peacekeepers, and, you know, it's all the admins, and we talk about, you know, we run different people. If, you know, someone's a problem, or even sometimes bots get in and they'll advertise stuff, and, you know, people looking for money, or, you know, fake profiles, and they're just trying to, you know, get money from people off the group using fake pictures. But we're all pretty good at spotting that stuff. But again, sometimes they sneak in, and you know, we have to remove them, and that's what we do. We'll remove them and block them, and so we don't want no one causing, you know, pilfering money from anybody in the group, or, you know, misleading anybody. So we monitor the group all the time, and the group is monitored 24/7. We have people that are up all night watching, peacekeepers that are up all night watching the group and reading and making sure that nobody's posting anything that's abusive or, you know, condescending, or they're trying to sell anything. We got T-shirts that are going to come out in a little while, and we just want to sell our products. And we don't, you know, we're not endorsing any other products in our group, because we don't want to get into that and take away from the primary purpose of Sober Indians, is, you know, to help the suffering alcoholic and addict. So that's why we don't have like a lot of advertising of or any advertising of anybody selling stuff. Although we do support a lot of activities that different groups have created, you know, like White Bison is a good example. We always post their Zoom meetings, and Sober Squad is another active group that's, you know, in different states in the United States. And we support their Zoom meetings and, you know, just different groups. If they have an AA function somewhere, we post that. We post stuff out of, we support and encourage people to post, you know, thought for the days from Touchstones or the 24-hour book or As Bill Sees It or the Big Book, you know, things like that. People post stuff on the Bible. We have people sharing teachings culturally that are, you know, they post, they're going to have a gathering. There's another group that we, you know, I mean, we support all groups. We're just not selling their paraphernalia. And that's what we're doing. And it's not everybody knows that. So, you know, we tell people that, but again, it's something that has to be reminded because people are new. They get in and they'll post something and and you know, it's good that beadwork is a part of someone's recovery because a lot of people, they stay sober, you know, dancing, powwow dancing, whether they're grass dancers or fancy dancers, shawl dancers, or jingle dress dancers. And they make all kinds of beautiful regalia, and they make all kinds of beautiful beadwork. But, you know, and we encourage people to share, you know, that's their part of their recovery, but we don't sell that stuff because there are sites that, you know, sell native beadwork and, you know, whether it's a roach for your hair or, you know, whatever, bracelets or leggings, moccasins, things like that. We don't get into any of that, and so we don't allow that. But if you do, you know, if you do make stuff and you want to share that, you know, I made these moccasins, this is part of my therapy or recovery, and that's good. We encourage you to post that. And so things like that, you know, I wanted to explain tonight, and then, you know, that we're, you know, we're eclectic and we're diverse, and that's the big thing. You know, we're always trying to be inclusive with people's perspective and their ideology on recovery, and so it's open. You know, if even, you know, some people are Zen or Buddhist or whatever, you know, if that's what keeps them sober. They have a lot of good teachings and that stuff. And I myself even will post a Zen meme or, you know, a saying. And I think it's a good way to, you know, to help people know that they need to be the person that is responsible for their recovery. And you get that from a lot of, you know, a lot of different religions and beliefs. You know, it teaches you to, you know, that you are responsible. That's what they say in AA. Whenever anyone anywhere reaches out for the hand for help, I want the hand AA to be there. And so, and you know, that's what we want to be too, is just like that. That's a beautiful saying. And we are responsible to, you know, to help each other out in whichever way that they find their path in recovery. Like I post, you know, on my own personal page a lot. I like to post, you know, teachings that I got from elders and not, you know, I've been around a lot of very beautiful Native American First Nation elders, and, you know, they've given me a lot of good teachings because I sat in ceremonies with them and then took the time to visit them. And, you know, that really is what I share, is like the teachings I got from the time I spent with them people. And so it's part of my story, and it's part of a story, a teaching story, whether it's to not interfere with other people in their own recovery, or whether not to judge, or, you know, things like that. I remember Harriet, she would say, you know, don't never look down on anybody unless you're bending over to pick them up. And she was, you know, she was an elder in our community, and I'm from the Sioux tribe of Chippewas, and we're, you know, Chippewas are Ojibwe. And so she was a recovering elder, and she was a very, very chronic alcoholic when she drank. And then she got sober, and her and her husband, Charlie, got very active in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they helped a lot of people. What they did is they would take them to powwows and take them to AA meetings. They had a anniversary here, which was the AA group that they started on a reservation. It was called the Bowatting Group. And so every year they'd have an anniversary, and people were recognized for their time in recovery. And they would have a raffle, and they'd raffle baskets, black ash baskets that they made to help, fund the anniversary. And people came from all over to speak, and it was really an amazing thing. And that's another thing I became a part of, you know. They showed me how to be active, you know, because I heard, you know, in a meeting when I got sober, don't get on the wagon, you can fall off. Get in the wagon, that way you can't fall off. And in was, you know, being active. So, you know, I chaired meetings, and I was, and I remember Harriet sitting there watching me chair meetings, and she would, she made sure I was doing the right things. We had a format, and I had to follow it. And I ended up, you know, learning that by heart. But I chaired a lot of meetings, and I was very active for many years in my, many years of my, at least 20 years of my recovery. And although, you know, like I've mentioned in different parts of my story about, you know, going into sweat lodges and ceremonies and all that, that was another thing that enhanced my recovery. And so I'm glad I got to do that. The treatment center that I went to was New Day. It was in Berga, Berga, Michigan. And they had a guy running a sweat lodge. His name was Mike Corbett. And it was the first lodge that I had went into in my life. And I was 23 years old at the time. And I'd never been into a sweat lodge. But when they asked, I said, yeah, I want to go. And it was super hot in the lodge. But they said that, you know, if you pray hard for the people that you love, you'll make their life better. And I knew that, you know, like, because of my past, that I did so many things wrong, and so I hurt so many people, that I wanted to pay back somehow. So being in that sweat was like I was paying some kind of penance for, you know, and then I was being useful instead of, being a part of the problem. I was being a part of the solution and my prayers were going to be strong for the people that I love, which were my own people. And so, but anyway, like I say, I always say, we're diverse and eclectic, and we have a lot of Christians and sober Indians, and that's very good teachings to Christianity. You know, Jesus Christ, he was a powerful prophet. He was a son of God. And he, you know, he taught love. And so, and that's, you know, what it says in the Bible. Because I read the Bible and I studied that too, as I studied the big book. And I studied a lot of different writings. There's a book from Emmett C. Fox. It's called Sermon on the Mount. And it broke down the Our Father. And because, you know, in the AA meetings, we would always say at the end of the meeting, the Our Father. And Emmett C. Fox, he broke the Our Father down. The first two words were Our Father. That meant everybody's father. You know, whether you're white, black, yellow, or red. And then he was a father, a loving father, instead of a tyrant. You know, that many of us had been taught that God was a punishing and vengeful God. And so, which to me, I mean, and it works for some people to have that, but for me, I had to have a loving and merciful God. And, you know, father-like and caring and forgiving. And so that's kind of how I developed my relationship with God as I understand him. And then, you know, offering my tobacco, we say, Asema, here is tobacco, Asema. This means here is tobacco. We're offering tobacco. We're praying. And so that's what I started doing. And that's when, you know, prayed that way. And that's what I do today. I mean, I pray in the language, and I talk, you know, to the Creator in the language. And, you know, I give thanks for the two-legged, the four-legged, the winged, the crawlers, the swimmers, you know, the water, the Nibi is water, and that's the lifeblood of Mother Earth, you know, Aki Kwe. That's what we call Mother Earth, or Skakamak Kwe. And we're, you know, here to respect the earth and everything on it, you know, the trees, the tree people, the rock people. The rock people hold the knowledge. That's why we take and we heat up the grandfather stones, Asin, you know, Asinug, the grandfather rocks, and we pour our tea on that, and that steam gives us the knowledge we need. And that's how we edify our spirit in the ceremony. And so today, I'm grateful that, you know, I learned all that, and then I've developed into, it's a natural way for me to be, is to pray and put out tobacco. When the thunder beams come, you know, like when the rain and the thunder comes, that the thunder beings are there to help. So we give tobacco to them and offer prayers to them. We know that they're powerful and that they'll help us. And there's a lot of teachings in them thunder beings. And there's a lot of teachings in that eagle. You know, there's many stories of the eagle. And so that's why we respect and, you know, hold the eagle and feathers in high esteem, because, you know, when you're presenting the eagle feather, that means that you earned that, and that is a gift from the Creator to you, saying that you're doing good. And then, you know, for you, and it's part of your sacred bundle. And that's another thing, you know, people become, you know, when they practice cultural ways, they become bundle holders. And, you know, your bundle can be a feather and sage and a shell, and it can be many things. It can be a pipe, you know. A lot of the things that we do receive, though, as gifts, and that's what I carry in my bundle, are things that were given to me and presented to me through the spirits. Even though people gave them to me, that spirit instructed them to give me, you know, the feathers or the pipe. Or, and so there's ceremonies that we do to respect our sacred items and get connected, you know, like when we, you know, in the spring, I mean, people are getting ready to fast. And we fast in the spring, and then we fast in the fall. The buds are coming out, you know. That's when people are put out to do their fasts. And, you know, new life and new visions will come. And they go without food and water there. And that's how they bless that pipe. And that's how that pipe comes to them. It comes to them spiritually. And they understand it more by being connected and using that pipe to pray, or that feather, or whatever they have, they've been gifted with. So it's all a part of our rites of passage. And so, you know, there's different tribes have different ways to go through that rites of passage. And that's why we always say, you know, you always listen and hear what the elders are saying where you go. You know, if you go in a different area, you follow their lead on how they teach, because that's what that's the teachings that they use. And you don't, we don't, you know, we don't argue when someone's teaching. It's really kind of silly to even act like that as far as I'm concerned. So I always pay attention to where I'm at and respect, especially when I go to a new lodge or with different people to a new ceremony. I just listen and observe. And that is done, you know, I think that's really what we're supposed to do until you develop into having a good understanding of what's happening. And then, you know, then you can share. And when asked, you know, that's another thing, you know, like speaking, the Lakota, they talk about the Dakota, Lakota, Nakota. They talk about, and I love this about them. They're such good speakers because they don't interrupt each other when they're talking. And, you know, I mean, the world really needs that, you know, because people are always racing other people to interject, you know, their idea into what the person is trying to tell them instead of listening and hearing what they have to say. So I try to practice that, and I do that pretty good. Although sometimes I get in a going fast, and then I'm in a hurry to talk and not listen very well. But for the most part, I pay attention and listen. And I always do that in ceremony. So I'm not running my mouth in ceremony. I'm very quiet. And then if asked, I'll share if I think I need to. Sometimes people say things, you know, that you don't need to say. So, I mean, why? I don't see the point of repeating what someone has already said. And so I just go with what that person said, so I don't repeat it. But, you know, there's just a lot of things. And then, you know, going into the sweat lodge later in my life, learning about our original ways, you know, we weren't, And I'm not knocking Christianity or, you know, a Jehovah Witness or a Catholic or anything. I believe that's a good way, a connection and everything. But the reality was and is that our original teachings, we have our own creation story. Our own nation has that. And that's, you know, really part of why we, you know, it's good to practice who we are. And who we are is, you know, learning about our own original teachings. So it's important to, you know, learn about the rites of passage. And, you know, I feel that, you know, when I offer tobacco and I you know, if I'm worried about something or someone, that I feel an assurance that my prayer is going to be answered when I put my tobacco out. And, you know, I put it on the east side of a tree sometimes. Sometimes I, you know, people give me cigars and I smoke them and I pray with them. I don't inhale them. That's another thing. I was taught not to inhale when you're smoking the pipe. We blow it out because that smoke is for the prayers for the spirits and the creator, so we don't draw that into our lungs. So I don't do that. So I was in the traditional healers, and they're very, very spiritual men. And I remember when people came to see them. One time, this one person brought chewing tobacco. It was Copenhagen. And the one healer, he put the chew in his mouth, and he was chewing that the chewing tobacco. Then he spit in a cup, and he was praying like that. So, I mean, that opened my mind a lot. So he was praying using that chewing tobacco because that was the offering that was given from the elder that brought that chewing tobacco. So, and then, so again, there's so many aspects of how we make our offerings and the way that we do it. I'm grateful that, I've been around powerful people that showed me to be relaxed too, you know, in ceremony. My friend John LaFord, he's been sober over 50 years, and he got sober. I think he was 21, and he's a amazing artist. He got the Queen of England commissioned him to do a painting. So he does the woodland style art, and he developed a style similar to Morso's. And but anyway, I hung around him a lot, and he would say, "Well, let's smoke the pipe," you know. And then so wherever we were, we would just smoke the pipe, and I thought that was really, really cool that he was like that, you know. He would take the pipe out when he'd smoke and pray, you know. And there didn't have to be a big audience or anything. Just me and him would pray with the pipe. And that gave me a lot to be able to see someone like that. And there was no chin in how I puffed the pipe or anything or, you know. And there was people that were, you know, strict about some things, and they had their reasons, and I guess that's the way they were taught. And but everybody that I've ever seen that came with tobacco and offered it came out of respect. So everybody was doing the best they can everywhere that I went. And I you know, and I, like I said before, I've never seen anybody not welcome in a ceremony if they were, you know, white or black or yellow or, you know what I mean? It didn't matter which color you were. You were accepted and loved. You're a part of creation. And that's, you know, that's a very important teaching. The Lakota say, Dakota say, all my relation. You know what I mean? And they say, Metakweasi. And we say Nikanagena, the Ojibwe. That means all our relation too. So that means everything and everyone, you know. It means everything and everyone is welcome into the lodge, is welcome into the ceremony. So that means we are all related. We are all connected. And that's, you know, that's beautiful. And so as I grew, and, you know, I was sitting in the lodge, and I would have epiphanies in the lodge, like because of my misconception and because of some of the ways that I filtered God as I understand him. And, you know, and not to blame anybody else, but, you know, I had this perspective of God that if I didn't pray a certain way that, you know, I was going to go to hell, or there was a hell, and, you know, but I lost that as I grew in understanding the love and compassion that we had for all of life. And I remember sitting in the lodge and thinking, geez, I'm praying for the stars. I'm praying for the moon. I'm praying for the animals. I'm praying for the water. This has got to be from God, you know, the great spirit, the kind one, or the great mystery, or, you know, and there's many ways that, and many nations say that. So I was lucky to have them epiphanies, but, you know, I got to the right place and I got with people that taught me that stuff. You know, they shared with me and they loved me, you know, just like in AA. It was the same thing. I came in AA and I was an outcast because of all the things that I did wrong, because of my drinking. You know, I was a person that was very sick. And I would do anything to drink, you know, so I'd steal, rob, beg, you know, whatever. And when I got sober, you know, I didn't feel wanted or loved. And I came through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what I got. I got loved, and I got accepted, and they encouraged me to come back. And it was very, very powerful for me. In the same way with the sweat lodge, I came into the sweats and I was supported and loved, and then I was put out to fast. And I'd done that a lot of times in a lot of different places. I was lucky to go to Red Lake, and our first traditional practitioner was Adam Lusher, and he was a very powerful medicine man. He was from Red Lake. And they hired him here at our tribe, the Sioux Tribe of Chippewas, in the Indian Health Services. And he was an amazing person. And I was his helper. And I believe because, you know, like I fasted and I went through ceremony and I offered my tobacco. And I did that, you know, daily. And then, you know, that, you know, everything, just like anything else, it was earned. You know, the levels of knowledge are earned. And so that's how, you know, I got connected to him, and he taught me a lot of things about letting go, you know, and about, you know, he was just a very humble man, and he carried himself in a humble way. And so when I look to see that humble man, I see a picture of him. And the many others that taught me that, like I said, I had teachers from different nations. I had sponsors in AA that were Irish, and I had sponsors that were Native American, and they all gave me gifts. And but going back to the, you know, how Sober Indians is, and we have peacekeepers, and there are sun dancers, and there are traditional people. There's some that are language speakers, and they're all sober, and they're all active in their own personal recovery program. And our group within the group helps to support each other, because, you know, it's part of, you know, being a helper. You have to be able to get help yourself. You know, you need to have your own personal program. So each one of them has that. And then, you know, they look at themselves and then we discuss different things. And I really enjoy the group. They do a lot, and there's no pay. The pay is that they are helping people, and they are giving back the love that they receive, and they love to do it. And that's what excites me too, is the having people. And like yourself, Karen, you know, that's another thing. I mean, I want to ask you, I mean, how the Sober Indians help you?
Well, for me, I get to see all the love and support in the group. So that's a really big thing for me. And, oh gosh, it's actually with Sober Indians in the group itself. It started making me realize that these are things that I needed to deal with that I hadn't dealt with. So I'm really grateful for that because I needed to do that. There's a lot to really think about and a lot to say, and I don't quite know exactly how to say it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're working your own personal program of recovery. And this is, you're getting insight, you know, from the group. And, you know, I've talked to you before about this, and then you're growing, and it feels good. And, you know, to relate to other people that have had similar issues. You know, just listening to speakers that you have on there, the amazing speakers that you have come and talk on your radio broadcast for Sober Indians. You know, you always say, boy, I learned a lot from this one and that one. And boy, it really touched me what they said. And that's how we connect. And, you know, and that's how we heal. So I'm glad that I knew that the group would have, and especially doing the show, would have that effect on you. I figured that it would be an awakening for you. And I know that you're doing quite well in your life, and that's, you know, that's fantastic. And, you know, you're doing a good job with the show. This is important, you know, we're going to keep growing, and, you know, we'll keep having this. It teaches people how to speak, you know, in front of other people. You're a very compassionate host, which, you know, picks up on if someone's shy or sensitive or whatever. And so, you know, that's what we need. And you know, we're going to have we're getting the rising stars. We're picking out people out of the group to not just the peacekeepers, but other people that are active in the group that are, you know, posting, you know, their stories and posting, you know, positive, uplifting posts. And they're being invited to the show and they're sharing. And, you know, it's all, and I've had a lot of them, you know, say, well, thanks for asking me, you know what I mean? It really did my recovery a lot of good, because it really does. When you get to share your story, it helps you to put your life in perspective, you know? And so it's important to share your story. So one of these days you're going to have to do that too, Karen. So,
I know.
When you're ready.
You'll have to be the one to answer the questions.
Yeah,
you'll have to definitely ask the questions for that, because
I don't know
that I can come on and actually do it by myself.
Yeah. You're doing great with what you're doing right now. But
thank you.
I know you've been an admin for a while now, so you see, you know, what's happening in there, and then you know, you've had to remove posts, and you know, we get fake profiles and all that, and we got to take them out, and some of them are, they're getting trickier and trickier, because they'll post, you know, an older lady, you know, like an elder or something, and then it's not even a real elder, you know, it's a fake profile. And so then you got to monitor the person, but usually a fake person they'll get caught quickly. It doesn't take too long. Even the members of the group Sober Indians, they'll notify us, and that's what they can do too. Is, you know, if you see a post that is not right, you know, report it. You can, all members have that ability to report a post, and so the admins can see it and do something about it. And you know, we know, you know, right away if they're bots, and then some we have to ask questions. Like, we'll send a message to the person, and if the person don't answer within a couple of days, then, you know, we take the, you know, them out of the group. Or, you know, or if it's, you know, definitely we know there's something wrong. Or if the person is very abusive when they post something to other people, they're automatically removed, because we don't allow that. People should feel comfortable sharing their ideas. You know, being minorities of the minority, you know, minorities, you know, Indian people, the vanishing people, are should have a voice. And recovery is their voice for a lot of us. And so we want to encourage people to speak and share whatever is going on with them, and not to be made fun of or discouraged by somebody saying something that's condescending or abusive. You know what I mean? We don't allow either. And so if someone's being condescending, they'll be warned. And so, you know, hey, there's a different way to encourage people. You don't have to be condescending. And it's not, you know, we don't allow bashing. We don't allow political stuff. You know, a guy who was saying we're having this one run for chairman. Well, we're not a part of that. We're not having, you know, we're not promoting chairmen of tribes in sober Indians. You know what I mean? Although we do have sober chiefs in sober Indians, and that's good, and they're active, but I mean, they're not running their campaign ads in sober Indians, because that's not what it's for. Or we don't, you know, Canada elects their leaders, and the United States elects theirs, and so we don't go Democrat or Republican or whatever. We're not a part of any of that. We stay out of that, and it's controversial, and so again, it leads to arguing, and people will disassociate themselves with things like that. So, you know, a lot of these ideas, too, have come from not just AA, but, I mean, really the way our culture is, you know, of allowing, you know, allowing people to share their ideas and not, you know, arguing. That's another thing, you know, not to argue about stuff. You know, learning how not to argue is a really powerful thing. It really is. And so I didn't realize that till I was taught that by an Irish elder. And so he'd say, you know, there's two things you don't do. One is argue, And the second one is argue. And so I'm like, uh-oh, that means I can't argue. I realized, too, when I observed, you know, you start to observe yourself, you know, you realize and you look at yourself, your motive is, you know, a lot of it is ego feeding, is the ego feeding proposition. Just the same as gossip. When you're talking about someone else, basically you're saying you're better than that person, right? So wise people don't gossip about other people, you know? They just, they don't get involved in that. And because they know it just, it really breaks yourself down. So the strong person is the person that doesn't follow that, you know. The strong person is the person that resists that temptation to badmouth people. And I tell you, I'm not, I don't have that mastered. I mean, I'm 58 years old, and I'm not an elder yet, but maybe, I don't know. You know, I'm growing. I know I've come a long ways, and it's a process. But I definitely don't do that in public or on Facebook. You know, it's not a place to be arguing with somebody. And so, but I mean, when I first got on Facebook, I did get into debates, and it wasn't that good. You know, so. I learned from that. I'm like, this is not working out. Then I'm gonna, this person's gonna keep arguing, and then I'm gonna keep arguing, and then it's, you know, it's like a fire. If you don't fuel it, it'll go out. So that it's, and that's conflict. So we learn how to stay out of conflict, you know.
Yeah.
Are you there?
I'm Aaron? Here. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes,
okay.
I can hear you. Can
you
hear me?
I'm going back and forth between muting and unmuting because I'm currently outside because it's really nice out. So I've got some
noise. Oh, okay. Okay. that's good.
Trying to maintain.
So anyway, you got any other questions, Karen, or?
Well, no, I don't really. I'm curious about how you do master the whole not arguing part, because
it's something you have to really be aware of. You know what I mean? And that's the thing about, like, AA is awareness and then action. You got to change your old ideas with new ones. And so, again, awareness is the key. And then you get in situations where you're like, if I say that to that person is going to respond in this way. So I might as well not even say that. You know what I mean? Because it's going to lead into a heavier argument. So learning how not to argue came from being in a lot of arguments. You know what I'm saying? So, and then if, you know, you get sick and tired of having the same results of, you know, someone mad at you because you have to prove your point to them or, you know, whatever, which doesn't really matter anyway, but it's just, you know, people make up their minds. You learn, too. People make up their minds the way they're going to think, and then they're going to think that way. So what's the point of arguing about it? So whether you're, you know, you got just like, you know, I just use whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you know, Republicans, they think a certain way, and then Democrats think a certain way, and then, you know, they're not going to. They have made their mind up on how certain things are. And though some people, you know, do change their minds and they change their stances and everything, but a lot of times it's not because of something that I do. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to prove it to this person or that. So you just, you become aware and then you learn how not to say no, you know, and stay out of it. You know, stay out of conflict and not, it's like drama too. Another thing is not creating drama. You learn how to stay out of drama. But again, you know, everybody has their own stress levels, and people keep themselves at certain stress levels because that's what they're accustomed to, they're used to. Like I think I was talking to you about before, you know, keep, you know, just try to have peace, you know what I mean? You know, that's a good thing to, you know, to be aware of. Try to stay peaceful, you know, instead of creating a conflict for yourself, you know? But prayer and meditation has always been a good way for me to help me to feel good about myself, to, you know, like not abuse myself in conflict or, you know what I mean? Or with anger or something, you know what I mean? Things like that. I mean, when you're angry at people, you know, you're really abusing yourself. Or resentments, or, you know, I mean, you're suffering when you're resentful. So you learn all that, you know, and you, then you're paying attention to, like, wow, do I want to be resentful? Or, you know, is this what I want to be? I really don't want to be resentful because it's poison in my life. So, you know, you learn how to let go of resentments. And sometimes it's talking about it, venting it to someone you can trust, why you're resentful. A lot of times it's hurt, you know. So we learn how to let go, and then we let go to God as we understand him, which, you know, can, you know, be Jesus or Buddha or, you know, the Great Spirit or Allah, whoever you believe, you know, you trust and surrender to that belief, you know. You let go of that. And a lot of beliefs, they say pray for your enemies, and also that's another thing we do. You know, we're praying for all our relation. We're thinking about, you know, everybody, and even and the ones that hurt us. So that's where we free ourselves from that resentment, and then we're free. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the happier you are, really, is the best gift you can give the people that you love as a happy person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You want to be just like you got your grandkids and your daughter and everything. You want to be a happy person because a happy person can help support them, you know, and encourage mm-hmm. them. And so again, that's what I'm myself. That's what I try to think about everybody else around me. You know, I'm trying to be happy for myself, of course, but again, then for the people that I love and care about, I want them to be, you know, to receive a gift from my happiness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense because, you know, in my case, which I'm still dealing with it, but there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of anger, you know, and I held on to that. And that just, it made me a very, very hard person in a lot of ways and built a whole lot of walls that I really didn't need to build. So I learned how to push people away and let them in for so long, for a certain amount of time, and get so close and then just push them away. So, and I'm learning now how to not do that and how to let go of that hurt and anger that I've had that's been there so long. So, yeah, it definitely makes sense to me what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's what the group
does
for me, too.
Yeah, that's what we do. I mean, you're on to yourself. That's what we got to be, is on to ourselves. They got the, like, the man in the mirror, the woman in the mirror. We look at ourselves. We're the ones that are the masters of our own destiny, you know. We rely upon God, the Creator, but, you know, again, we have to make the right choices. So we got to take responsibility, and we got to protect our thoughts, and we have to live the way that we feel is the right way to live, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we feel good about ourselves. So, well, it's, you know, I really enjoyed being on the show again. And thank you again. You did a great job as a host. And you're doing, who's on the next show now?
I haven't got Wednesday's show set up yet, so I will have someone to announce between now and...
Okay. So you'll be putting that on Facebook, right? And then you'll be putting that in the group within the next couple of days, and then that's what, you know, you put that out there, and then we're going to be having T-shirts eventually, probably within a month, and then we'll start selling them. We got our Sober Indians, Super Sober Indians design, and there's a lot of story to that design, and, you know, we'll share that once the shirts start going out, but it's a really cool design. Derek J. Dent is the one that designed it with some, me and him were talking about it, and I gave him some ideas, and then he put it on. He's a master artist, and he's been with us for, you know, many years as a peacekeeper. Him and Mary are, you know, like the lead, their chiefs, you know what I mean? Mary and Derek are chiefs in the peacekeepers, and boy oh boy, they're solid people. And I don't know, I'll tell you, there's a lot of solid people in the peacekeepers, but they've been with us for many years, and there's a lot of people that have been in there with us for many years, and then that are still working effortlessly and tirelessly to keep Sober Indians safe and a good place. And we're evolving and we're morphing, you know. We like jokes and stuff, and this, as long as they're clean, you know. We want it to be humorous too, so music is a good therapy, you know, putting on songs, recovery songs, you know, posting that kind of stuff is all good. So everybody's welcome to do stuff like that. If a song touches your recovery, share it. That's good. I mean, that's what we do. We share what helps us, gives us, inspires us, you know. We're trying to inspire each other. So you guys have a good night. Thanks for asking me to come on again. And I enjoyed it. Again, every time I tell my story, it puts my life in perspective. I'm excited about the new days to come. I got a vision of many, many exciting things coming for my life, and then and for Sober Indians, the group. Eventually we'll have a gathering, you know, we're looking at like next year, and then we'll decide where that's going to be, and then, you know, we'll work towards that goal, and we'll have amazing and exciting speakers coming from all over, all nations, and there's so many different nations and Sober Indians of First Nations people. Native Americans. It's amazing. Our group, you know, we have, like I said, there's, you know, you look at our graphs, and sometimes I put them out there, but when you got 40, 50, 60,000 people engaged during the day into a recovery group on Facebook, that's a lot of people, you know, monitoring a group. So that's very, very good. So have a good night, everybody, and Thanks, Karen, again for doing a great job. Mama
You're
P.
You're very welcome.
Everyone, good night.
Good night. Have a good night, everybody, and we will see you again Wednesday evening at 7 p.m.